Good evening and welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Dr. Carrie Madej.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. It is another great day in America with the hand puppet, Joe Biden, as our acting president, who's now proclaiming that we're going to be the reserve resource for the entire world to poison them with nanotech and injections. It's wonderful. And our mattress back, Kamala Harris, continues to be the Muppet Mattress Queen, who I believe at the rate we're going, I think if she's successful, she'll probably sleep with every world leader before she's out of office. That'll be a new record. Presidential Hall of Fame, Vice Presidential Hall of Fame. First there was Pence, and then it was Mattress Back Harris. Boy, I tell you, we're knocking 500 out of the park today, I'm telling you. My goodness gracious. Can't get much better than that. Yeah, you can. But not in the America of corporate America, you can't. But speaking of corporations, patriots, there is one great corporation in this country who's led by one great CEO who's an American patriot who loves America, loves Christ, speaks openly about his faith, fights like crazy, and I'll bet you can't even guess who that is. You got it, Mike Lindell of MyPillow. And it is such an amazing thing that he is out here fighting every day, and the left is trying to crush him as they do. $65 million in sales that they have taken away from him, so this is what we are doing. We have announced, as you know very well, that is part of Bards Fest, being on the 26th to the 29th of August. I'll get it right one of these days. On the Friday the 27th, when Mike Lindell speaks, we are having the official Slipper Revolution Day. So you need to get yourself a pair of my slippers. And how do you do that? Well, you go to MyPillow, MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Just that easy. And you use the amazing promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. B-A-R-D-S, Bards. Just like the name Bards FM, take off the FM, Bards. That's your promo code. And if you decide that, well, you know what? I'd really like to talk to a human being, which is a good idea anyway. You can call the special number just set up for us, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And just to get you understanding how significant this commitment is, MyPillow has sent Bards FM for Bards Fest, a check of over $20,000, which has gone right into the bank to help offset the cost of Bards Fest. That is an amazing company right there. So, patriots, we need to rock and roll it. Spread that Bards promo code out there. Let's continue to support them. They're doing an amazing job. And that's right, they are contributing money to the Bards Fest in a big way. And we can't thank them enough. They're an amazing company, an amazing CEO. So remember, Bards promo code BRDS, B-A-R-D-S. Get over there, support America's greatest CEO and one of America's greatest companies. And their stuff is good, too. I'm not kidding. I told you before, I don't endorse products very much. There's a few companies I really endorse. This is one of them. And their stuff is great quality. It's worth every dime. So, MyPillow, Bards promo code, MyPillow.com, Bards promo code, 800 number, 800-975-2939. All that information is right below the podcast. If you get lost, just scroll down a little bit and you go, oh, look. There's the promo code. It's right underneath the podcast. And then you go down a little further and you're like, oh, look. There's the URL. Oh, look. There's the 800 number. You don't even have to memorize it. It's right there below it. Gotcha. All right. That's what we need to do. Mission given. Now launch. So, patriots, tonight we have a very another very good interview. Very important person, Dr. Carrie Madej, who has been leading the research on the Five Doctors team in the area of nanotechnology and how that's being used in these shots. And she's going to talk about a lot of interesting things tonight. And it's right on the heels of still more of the Luciferian horrors are attacking our beloved Dr. Tenpenny. Today, more of the same, more threats, more death threats, more nonsense, which tells you how accurate she was with what she announced. Remember, over an hour interview or testimony before the Ohio legislature, they're all paid off trolls anyway, every one of them has an activist in their pocket telling them what to say. They're all like little hand puppets. I'm literally, if you were to look behind him, there'd probably be a hand up their butt moving their mouth. But anyway, I digress. So the Dr. Tenpenny stood there and sat there and talked for over an hour. And of all the things that she stated, she said basically this: there are thoughts, I believe that was the phraseology, there are thoughts that some of this could be related to magnetism and connection with 5G. What was the headline that came out of the whole thing? Dr. Tenpenny says that people will become magnetized and connected to 5G. The media spoke the truth. And in doing so, they picked that one thing out of her testimony because, like they always do, they go after the truth to try to disparage the person with the truth to make them look foolish. But this one's blowing up in their face. This has gone global. It's all over the world. It was on Jimmy Kimmel. He was trying to make mockery of it. We know how these people are. And now we're getting more and more people awakening. Okay, so we need to keep this fight on. I am telling you, if you are listening to this podcast, I am asking you, get out on your social media platforms. Get out on the comment sections. Hit it hard, patriots. Get into people's face. Get those links. Pass them out on email. Talk to people face to face. Get them aware of what's going on. This is a war. And we have to win this war, and we win this war person by person, truth by truth, okay? Adding some scripture in there is a really good idea, too, because then you can bring God right in there and go, hey, how do you like that big guy? I've got the biggest man on the block on my side. All right. So all that said, and what's amazing is that happened on Wednesday. All these interviews were scheduled last week, and here we have now another great mind in this fight, Dr. Carrie Madej, who's going to be able to tell you more about her current research, kind of the perspectives that she has on these things. And I think you'll find it once again to be a very eye-opening and very enjoyable perspective from a very enlightened and deeply spiritual medical doctor that's doing everything she can to save the people of this nation and the world through awakening and truth. So let me introduce to you Dr. Carrie Madej. Well, Dr. Carrie Madej, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to have you back on the show. It's been a little while, and you have done a lot of research. You've continued to look deep into not only the issues of the injection and the sorts of things that are in it, but also continue to explore a lot of the nanotech and those technologies with the hydrogel. We'd really like to, if you can, just kind of start with an update on how you're doing and how your research is progressing.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I love being on this program. Wonderful. Yes, we're, you know, I, along with, we call it the Five Docs, we share our research together, which is really helpful. And I think it's more powerful coming together. And of course, the shift has now gone more to the nanotechnology side because of all the recent anecdotal reports that are pretty numerous about the people having the magnetic effect where they got injected. And also with, at least here locally, a lot of people, when they're getting injected with either Moderna or Pfizer, they're emitting this electromagnetic frequency that is quite high. So they're acting almost like a cell phone or a computer in a way where they're actually emitting energy, which is not normal for a human to do that. And so, you know, when you ask the manufacturers and, you know, our government departments like the CDC or the FDA, they say there's nothing to it. It has nothing to do with their injections that they're calling vaccines. Well, this is unbelievable because obviously something is going on because we are using nanotechnology and those things are very possible. And then, of course, the real pressing issue of so many women complaining of the menstrual cycle issues and miscarriages happening just from being around a person that has the injection. So there's some mode of transmission happening. Of course, we're looking into everything, and now we're really focusing more on the magnetic nanoparticles. And they're actually the little tiny ones are called spions, S-P-I-O-N-S. And those are used only really through research. They're not actually supposed to be used in commonplace medical practice. They're only supposed to be used in research. And if you read the newest research articles that are only a year old, they say, we have a long way to go. We don't have any long-term studies on this. There are so many different methods of toxicity. And if you read the toxicity issues, they are at exactly the same ones as we're seeing with the spike protein themselves. So this is brand new territory for all of us. And we're trying to find ways that we ourselves could test people and learn more so that we could help people who did get these injections. And what does this mean for everybody? So, yeah, as far as all of us are researching this, we are just dumbfounded that we got to this point so quickly and without more medical professionals questioning things. And, you know, I was talking to you earlier how, wow, it seems overwhelming how we allowed this dark science and dark medicine to come into our lives. But it reminds me more and more of how really we need to look at the spiritual side of things, because to me, this is a battle of good and evil. And I've said that many times. And this calling inside of me, this energy, this love inside of me keeps craving a revival to happen. And I hear other people say the same thing. And we need to start looking at this from a different level and taking it to a higher level to fight this.
I think that's very well said. One of the things that I think was probably shared by Dr. Tenpenny with you was this idea of a 5-step process of keeping your body healthy and strong. And just very quickly, prayer and worship, eating well and boosting your internal immune system, health and through our fitness, and then frequencies of music we listen to, hymns that we sing and music that we play, and then the frequencies of light to expose ourselves to those as all healing properties. All of those get into things that are beyond our physical at one level or another. And so it kind of ties back to what you're saying, which is the issues of at the top of that list, which is prayer and worship. There is a, if I'm not mistaken, I just am validating with you, there is a shift in body frequency, correct? When we do prayer and worship in that process?
Yes. And actually there's many scientific research articles to prove that. Different areas of the brain light up. We produce more DMT, reproduce more good hormones in our body. And actually, there's a measurable change in the frequency of the energy of the human body. We go more into that a high frequency of the love frequency, which is so healing because, you know, just by frequency alone, you can actually heal DNA. A bad frequency can break DNA. So many amazing things can happen, and it's really on a quantum physics level. Unfortunately, our schools don't teach quantum physics, which they should, because that's actually more the accurate science that we should be looking at. It explains a lot of things, how, you know, we can have healing over distance and how prayer works, all sorts of things like that. We need to bring back some good science to teach everybody how this is possible. You know, I love when you have that good science that goes hand in hand with what we know in the Bible and read about. So I love that. But you're right. It does raise the vibration. And another thing is random acts of kindness. I tell people when you're in a really low spot, if you actually just give of yourself something, it's amazing how much you get back. It really gets you out of that dark spot. And you start to remember what it's like to be human again, right? It gets you out of your slump.
I think that last comment is so apropos and profound in its sense, is reminding us what it's like to be human again. We have been separated from that on so many levels, even reducing almost every single thing we do down to some sort of quantifiable dollar amount, which is straight out of the magic of Babylon. So it's that place where we're trying to reclaim the true nature of who we are, and at the same time being challenged by the promises of this pseudoscience, which is more of a religion, that everything can be fixed by an injection. So in looking at that, and I'm going to kind of go back a little bit to the nanotech idea, my research has suggested that nanotech feeds as its energy and can grow off of frequencies. Have you had any indication of that? And I guess the other part I would add to that, does the nanotech actually grow in the body? Because indications are that it does.
Well, actually, yes, there's a small video clip by a company, I forgot their name right now, but they're a company that provides this magnetic nanoparticles similar to what we're seeing in these injections right now. And they show with just a simple magnet with a test tube of their particles how immediately they move. So that's a frequency in a way, that's electromagnetic energy. So we know that they are influenced by that. We know that if they use MRI machines, they're influenced by that. Of course, if you have other kinds of electromagnetic energy, that would be influencing that. And the heart's electromagnetic energy as well. So some energies would stimulate it, some would negate it, stop it altogether. Just like if, for instance, you had a pacemaker inside of your body, how to stop that? We put a very large magnet over, and that would start it. That would stop the function of the pacemaker. So, you know, it depends on the frequency. Some will induce it and some will stop it. Depends on what you're talking about with that. So it is, yes, all kinds of frequency. It does come down to Nikola Tesla. The universe can be explained with frequency, energy, and vibration. And I think that we're seeing that truly come alive right now. But we have the most powerful frequency inside of us. And I think that this is our time to really remember who we are, to wake up to the divinity that's inside of us, to reclaim that. We kind of gave it away. And to be amazing beings again, because in my eyes, we became a dead nation, and a lot of places around the world became dead. We're the walking dead. And so we need to raise a dead nation, right? We need to become alive again. And so do we really want to go back to the old way we were living, where we were all disconnected on our phones, not talking to one another, not enjoying nature, not caring for the neighbor or a family member, being too caught up in everything, taking God out of everything? Do we really want to go back to that world where genocides were happening all over the world, human trafficking, child sacrifice, all kinds of things? No, we want to go out of that Babylonian kind of world and go to a divine place, be close with God. And so this is the time. We need to rise to the occasion, and it can be a wonderful, beautiful experience. And so in that way, I am just anticipating it and looking forward to it.
Well, I think that's extremely well said, but it seems like that is I hate to use a but because it negates that principle, and I'm not intending it that way. I would just guess I should say, and it seems to be a challenge when you're dealing with the medical community, which has been raised on such a different paradigm. You yourself were raised up in that paradigm of fixing things through pharmacopoeia, injectables, extractive surgeries where we remove things. We weren't looking at the body holistically as a spiritual being that could heal. Can you talk a little bit about that, the challenges that you've faced, both maybe with your own process and dealing with the medical community, and what that means to try to awaken them?
Oh, well, of course. I was trained both allopathic and osteopathic, allopathics MD, osteopathic DO. And so the more I practiced, the more I realized the osteopathic way was a better way. It was actually, people were using less medicines. People didn't have their diseases anymore. We were really successful. It was an amazing, practice that way. However, when you're not using drugs and people aren't needing their procedures, some people didn't need their transplants anymore, that means a lot of other people aren't making money. And so very quickly, I was, given very serious conversations about the way I was practicing and that I needed to keep people on their drugs, even if I didn't have the labs to prove that they needed them. I needed to continue them on chemotherapy, even though the cancer was going away on their own, and so on. And I saw what a broken system, and it was all about money and commodities and people with a dollar sign on their head, and it had nothing to do with the wellness and health and well-being of a person, and to see the value of their soul and the value of how it affected the family unit. And I remember one day sitting in the office knowing that I was putting my career in jeopardy by not going along with the normal paradigm. And I looked at this woman's face and she says, "Listen, I know you're not telling me the real thing that can make me well, but I waited to see you for a year and I will not leave this office until you tell me what you know." And I looked at her and I said, I said to myself, "Okay, God, I'll never hold back on anyone. I will always help them out to my fullest extent. And whatever happens, happens." And from that day forward, I always try to do what the right thing is. And of course, I'll never be able to work a normal job in medicine. That's okay. I don't make as much money at all, but that's okay. You know, I know that I have freedom of my mind and I have freedom of how to practice. And of course, you know, the medical board harasses me like they do other doctors that speak out. They don't want me to say these things that I'm saying right now, but I won't stop. I won't stop, you know, speaking up for everybody. It's about, you know, how do you value yourself and your soul? No one can own my mind. They won't own my heart and they won't own what I do. So that's how I walk my walk and talk my talk. And I guess it's easier for me because I don't have children to support, of course, but that's how I look at it, because I was given an honor and a privilege to take care of human lives. And I honor that. And it's something that I won't violate for anything, not even for money.
The Hippocratic Oath, essentially do no harm. And yet here we have an injection that is doing everything opposite of the Hippocratic Oath, and doctors are encouraging it, administering it. We even have many reports of doctors and nurses that are not giving themselves the injection, falsifying records that they did, and then continuing to give people the injection, which to me is just an unbelievable treason to trust. So I guess a couple questions on this. I mean, what is in this injection? There's many pieces to it. We don't get it in the release from the pharmaceutical companies. They're not letting people know what's in it. And is that a motivation or an excuse for why people are able to just ignore the Hippocratic Oath? Or is that something much deeper?
Well, there is no excuse, in my opinion. When these injections are coming to the office, I've seen the inserts, they're blank. They have absolutely nothing on the inserts. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And you still have a personal responsibility, you know, whether it's, you know, your state laws or it's through the Nuremberg Code to give informed consent, proper informed consent. I've seen none of that happen. And people have to know that they are liable for what they're doing, because they need to tell people they are stage 4 research participant. We are using brand new technologies that have never been launched on humanity. We are using genetic modification. We've never done that before with something synthetic, not from nature. That is so important that people know that, because our genome is a beautiful orchestrated symphony of a living language. It is so long that if you uncoiled it in one person, it would be stretched out over 10 billion miles. And we know that they've analyzed a lot of that, and they know that Yahweh's name is actually spelled out over and over in our genome, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And what these injections can do, they have the possibility, it's not 100%, but it's possible that they could give that genetic code that they're injecting into people. It could be taken up into our genome and become permanent. Now you're talking about something synthetic, not from nature. If that were to happen, then by law, whoever owns the patent on the code that they're injecting into that person can then own part or all of that person. A human being can now be owned if they have anything synthetic inside of them. They are not warning the people of that. They should definitely warn them of that. Hey, you could be owned and patented by law if any of this gets taken up. You need to know that risk. On top of that, there's many different issues with that medically. Of course, the increased cancers, autoimmune diseases. Also, you purposely are going to make these spike proteins, which we now know are toxins in your body. We know they hurt the body. And it goes everywhere in your body, your brain, your liver, your kidneys. And we don't know when they leave. We do know that they cause blood clotting and bleeding and liver issues and kidney issues and neurodegenerative issues and paralysis and and definitely that it accumulates in the ovaries of women 64 times. We know that it is very harmful for reproduction, the possibility of being sterilized after these injections. This is serious stuff that we're dealing with. And then one more thing, as though that's not enough, we have nanotechnology, the sci-fi kind of science that is now being introduced to the public and that was slyly put in there very quietly without telling anybody what they're doing, which is just horrific to me because we are now putting, in essence, bits of computer, it's like little tiny computer bits inside of the human body. I think that is horrific that we are not warning people that we are doing this. And now we're starting to see these strange effects in people. So what is the intent and purpose of that? They're saying just for drug delivery, but my gosh, why would you do that just for drug delivery? And we do know through many sources, including, you know, my meetings I went to, that we were told that the intent for introducing that into people would be for, you know, transhumanism, the beginning of that, which is a different way of living, an evolution of humanity, as they call it, taking evolution into their own hands. And it's how people can be immortal in the future. It's how people can be connected to each other in the future. It's also a way of surveillance. It's also a way of spying on people. It sounds just crazy, but when you read the World Economic Forum and see what they do and what they intend for people, and you listen to people like Elon Musk and Ray Kurzweil who are pushing this agenda, they believe in 9 years, all of us will be melded with artificial intelligence. In my opinion, what we're seeing inside these injections is the beginning, the advent of transhumanism. And we have this window of opportunity to say no and to stop it now before it goes much further.
Transhumanism, nanotech, words that have become almost mainstream with people that are following this. And yet for many, those are still fairly elusive. Can you provide some understanding as to, you know, what is transhumanism and what exactly is nanotech?
Well, there are many people around the world that and they are self-proclaimed atheists. That's what they'll say if you even meet them in a meeting. And they say that they believe in only our bodies being physical, not really a soul. And they say that, okay, our bodies are not very healthy. They're broken. We get cancers and autoimmune disorders. We don't live very long. So they have a solution. And that solution is, what if we start to utilize artificial intelligence and robotics and genetic modification to tinker with the human body and make a brand new improved version of this? And now this has not been really fully discussed, obviously, around the world, but in small groups, it has been. And so these groups of scientists and world leaders and other people with lots of money have decided of a deadline for the world of 2030. They believe that through melding the human body with technology, something synthetic, they can make us part robot. They could make hybrid creatures where you might have a part spider, part insect, part dog, whatever genetics inside of you. They also said as time went on, they could actually just upload all of our memories and then download them into a new body, which could be a robotic, a clone, or even just a digital avatar, like a computer game, a video game character. And I know when you hear this, it's shocking, but it's true. If you look it up, these people in these meetings are quite serious. And right now you can find a lot of data online about this. And they do want us in some way, somehow, to all be connected in this new way of being by the year 2030. They believe that this is how we live to be immortal. This is how we are connected to one another. And if you ask them, of course, they don't believe in God, but they said they believe there will be a God soon. And another statement that was Ray Kurzweil, and another statement by Dr. Craig Venter, he said, what is God? God creates. Now we can create. So now we're gods. So you have to understand that is their mindset and their idea of how to shape us in the world. I did not give them my permission for that. That is not my idea of what our body is. Our body is a, they are a temple. They're holy. And I don't want anyone to manipulate my body. I believe in a soul. I believe that I am eternal soul, a sovereign soul. And that is what makes me immortal. I don't need their immortality. I'm already connected to everything, to nature, to earth, to God, because of the soul. We are all connected. We're children of God. I don't need their connection. They don't have my permission. We have to understand the big picture, because these plans have already been laid out. There's another one called Codex Alimentarius, an international trade agreement. We have Agenda 21, the Internet of Everything. If you look and you listen outside the major media, you'll see that these agendas are going fast forward. And really, that's what all of this chaos is about. That's what all of this pandemic is about, is that bigger agenda. And for me, it is a godless agenda. It is taking God out of the equation, is taking what makes us so amazing and beautiful and sacred out of the equation. It's the extinction of humanity as we know it, and going forward into what they call human 2.0. And the society that they envision for us is terrible. It is not what I want. And so I will do anything I can to warn our brothers and sisters, and to use this crisis that we're dealing with to raise our vibration, to waken us to who we are, children of God, get that light, that fire in our heart back. And when we do that, we are unstoppable. And because God is with us. God never left us. We left God.
That's absolutely true. I say that almost every night. God's never going to forsake us. We forsake him, if anything. We are climbing what seems by many to be a vertical mountain. And, of course, that's the power of faith, is to be able to move mountains, literally. You've talked earlier about quantum physics and the true science of understanding our universe. And we're dealing here with this concept of what I perceive as them trying to lock us into one fixed reality. And right now they're using fear to keep us in that place, or at least to keep many in that place. And my thoughts are that this injection has a lot to do with locking a frequency in so that we can't become the quantum souls that we are. I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that and the idea of quantum within the concept of faith and where we currently are.
Yes, there's so many layers and facets to these injections. It's, I have to say, give it to them. They really thought this one out for a while. But you are correct about that, in that the more you delve into what are in these injections, it is really mind-boggling. They're using frequency and vibration and energy, but in a negative way. Just think of it as an inversion of everything God is, and that's what they're doing. It's a blasphemy of God. They use frequency, energy, vibration, but a very low frequency. It is of a fear and a panic, and that is what is being injected into people. They do believe that they understand that the word Yahweh is written over and over in our genome. They know that. And so in these meetings, they plan, once we have a synthetic gene inside of us, they actually want to write their own names inside of us. They want to write their own personal names and brand you like a cow. They also want to make a new alphabet syntax. Now that is powerful. Words are powerful. A syntax is powerful. Imagine the frequency shift that will happen once your whole system, at least your physical system, is now changed into a different syntax. They also are putting three messages in these, anything that's synthetic. What are the messages? They have not revealed that, as well as a quote unquote secret email. They literally can write this into our living library, our living book of ourselves. That on so many different levels can affect a person. And I don't think that we learn enough of the real science, like I said, for people to really get the gravity of that. But I understand it. And, also just you're having that done, and then you're having different kinds of frequencies coming from these 5G towers and different electronic devices. that are then bouncing off these antenna that are now in your body, which are called nanoparticles. And they can be used for influencers. So if you look, why would the main reason they use magnetic nanoparticles, some are just for drug delivery. But if you look at the research, the bulk of it is for how to manipulate an animal's behavior from a distance. Wow. What great science. That's what we're putting all of our time and attention to purposely make another animal, whether it's human, a fish, a dog, I don't care what, to influence them remotely because you want to. Again, it's just unbelievable. This is what we're using our technology for. And you also, people have to know that they are using the number 666 everywhere. There's actually in Moderna, there's a lot of measurements they use inside the injection, which is 0.666 lots of times. Of course, the luciferase crystal has been used in the development of these injections. We don't know if they're in them right now, but the word luciferase, these all carry an energy. They all carry a certain kind of vibration that is not our human vibration. It is a very low one. It is, and the more that you get, the more that it will be hard to get out of that. Because I do believe in us that we're more powerful than our physical beings. We are light beings. We are spirits. We are with God. But the more our physical bodies get tainted and tampered with and marked up, I mean, it would be really hard to get out of that. It's so demonic, and it's so hard to get people to see how they're being deceived. So even with all of that, they still need our consent, and they still need to make us fearful, and they still need to make us very panicked, because I know they know that with all this technology, we are so powerful that we can overcome a lot, because we really are, but they need to make us not believe in ourselves. And so that's why their psychological campaign has been so hard and so heavy. Because if they could only control us and do these changes in our body just with the science alone, believe me, that's what they would do. They would keep us placated with nice things and not keep us scared. But the reason why they're doing this psychological manipulation is because they know that we are all powerful. We are with God. There's nothing that can overcome us. And they are afraid of that.
And nothing that can overcome us except ourselves, which is through the use of free will, I would add.
That is correct, yes.
You are on the cutting edge, not only of this research of exploring what's happening, but you're also on the cutting edge to see where we could go. How do you see healthcare, healing, stepping away from the pharmaceutical model, the model that's really a Jesuit control model? Where do you see this going to be to make a restorative type healing? You as a doctor, a medical person who cares deeply about the healing, not only of the physical, but the spiritual. Where do you see this going, Carrie, for the future of us returning to that foundation in relationship to God?
Well, what I realized in my clinic, seeing so many patients, was that I was amazed at our bodies. When we were able to identify the major poisons that were blocking someone from healing, or it could have been emotional blockages or maybe lack of nutrients. And we fixed those, or at least made them somewhat better, or identified the infection with that particular cancer. Unbelievably, the body, that's where that quantum physics comes in. In such a quick time, could heal itself. Was unbelievable. I didn't have any words for it. There's no science to explain it. Over and over again, we'd see that. I'd see an old floppy heart of, you know, a dilated cardiomyopathy of a 70-year-old man. And we just did a couple things, nothing really big. And all of a sudden, the heart remodeled back to like a young, strong, healthy man's heart, you know, replacing just some hormones and vitamins and finding out why he was lacking that. And getting some toxins away from him. Transplant patients not needing their transplants. The point of this is that if we recognize how poisoned we've been, inundated with that, and we just stop some of that, we won't have all these medical problems. We won't have to figure out how do we heal that. Our bodies have amazing intelligence and memory. They know, your body knows how to heal itself if given all the proper building blocks and you don't block it yourself mentally. That's the real healing that we'll see. We don't need fancy med beds you hear about and all these different things. I think it'll be much more simple than that. And going back to nature, the earth has everything we need for what, you know, any imbalances that we have. I honestly see it that way, where it's on such a high level of spirituality that what we will need is very little. And we just don't know who we are yet. I can't wait for the day when people realize who we are. It'll be quite a beautiful day, because our illnesses have been induced upon us since the beginning of our written history. This is not the way our bodies should act, and our bodies are quite miraculous.
So as we kind of wind this down, what would be your advice to people right now on a couple of levels? One, in dealing with the concern of the injections, meaning those that have been injected and being exposed to them, and simultaneously in building up this awareness to reclaim kind of our true nature. We're kind of at a very unique division right now in the country, where we have those that have held very strong. At least 40% of the nation is refusing the injection. And then we have another side who's accepted the injection, with some of those waking up. And then we have this problem of being able to come together, or concern, I should say, for the transmission that's happening with those that were injected. So what would be your advice to people, and as we move forward here, of where to stay focused and what to be concerned about, and really what to focus in on?
Well, my stance is I don't avoid anybody. I've always been that way. I'll still go around people, even if they were injected. I'll still hug them and I'll still socialize with them. Now, if I was a young woman, or if a young woman asked me, I would caution them on that right now, because of the risk of getting something from them that could potentially affect their fertility negatively. But for me, I don't believe in division myself. So I kind of have a little balance of how I see it that way. I think the worst thing we could do is be divided right now. I think we need to pray and be together and come together at least physically once a week in each other's homes, your local communities. That's very powerful, and praying. And the churches have failed us, so we need to start our own churches or witnessing in our own homes. That's very powerful, and giving to one another and being kind to one another, and remembering what it's like to be a Christian. In my opinion, I think people forgot. You know, people need to ask themselves this question right now, by people not speaking up, by them not taking a stance, by not perhaps losing their job over what they believe in, or maybe they won't have one extra car or something like that because of their beliefs. What is it costing you, and what is it costing the world by you not stepping up and saying the right thing and doing the right thing? I think everybody should really think about that, because this is the most important, pivotal time we've ever faced.
It is indeed. Carrie, I'd like to close with a prayer, if that's okay with you.
That would be great.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time that we've come together, and to once again be blessed with the insights and the research and the courage of Dr. Carrie Madej. And we ask for you to continue to look over her and bless her and what she's doing. And we also pray that the many will awaken to this knowledge and to really reclaim the true sense of who we are. Who we are in your love, who we are with Christ in our heart, who we are as your children, and who we are in the true nature of beings of spirit first and body second. Lord, we ask that you continue to guide us all in this difficult time, to give us discernment, and equally to take away our fear, to build the bridges of healing, to continue to have courage, to walk that path of truth, and to press forward always to awaken the many that still walk in the shadows or in the darkness. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Carrie, do you have any last words today? Things to pass on? Anything?
You know, I have such love, faith, and hope in my heart that is emanates and grows as time goes on. And it's so grand. I know it can't come from me, my human body. I know that I'm just a vessel from God, and that is powerful. And that drives me into how I'm speaking all the time and trying to give people encouragement, because I know that God's telling us to not give up, don't lose hope, that he's always been there for us. It's about us opening our hearts to him, to Jesus Christ, Yeshua. So it's, even though these things are so dark and disturbing when we look at them, what's happening, I still have this amazing love and faith and hope, and that is beautiful. And I can't wait for more people to feel what I feel as well.
Those are great words. Well, we look forward to having you at Bard's Fest. You're going to be another great part of that event to what we hope to be one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in the history of humankind. And we're excited to have you part of that. So that'll be another great time to hear you speak and to hear you share your passions. So I wish you a very blessed day, and we'll look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thank you, Scott. It's been my honor.
And God bless. What a great interview. The discussion we had is just such a different level, if you think about it, of where we were even a few months ago, as we've all kind of come to the realization of what this is really about. This fight, if you really think about it, and it's, the picture is evolving very rapidly right now, and I consider that just a gift of God. Let me tell you an idea. It's just a few things that have happened in the last few days. We obviously had the discussion by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and her testimony to Ohio legislature, where she focused on many things, but the media lost its, what little mind it has, it lost it over it as the horrors of Lucifer went crazy over magnetism and 5G. Jim Pugh calls me. You all know Jim Pugh. He's interviewed here a number of times. He's a good friend. And he goes into a discussion with me. And this was right after that. And he says, Scott, he goes, it's in the heart. And I said, Jim, what do you mean? And he says, that's where God is communicating to us through. It's in the heart. The war is over the heart. Dr. Carrie Madej is getting into the whole issues about magnetism and the nanotech. Dr. Lee Merritt, I interviewed today, who you will hear tomorrow night. And she's talking about the magnetism and the nanotech. And in my own research, I was coming to the same conclusions of the magnetism and nanotech. Here's one for you. I mentioned it the other night. In the energies of the body, the 432 frequency targets the heart. The 440 frequency targets the head. It was the change of that frequency in 1905 that began this whole process. They went from 432 tuning to 440 tuning. This whole thing, Patriots, is centering around our magnetism. It's an electromagnetic engine in our heart. And all that you're hearing here links us ultimately to God. And the deeper you get into electromagnetism, the crazier this thing gets, the more, and here's the word, the more you start to realize that this whole thing is about quantum, because we are quantum souls. I'll just leave you with that tonight to think about that a little bit. It's a powerful time of awakening, and one of the most amazing things is that the war that is being waged on us came from the almost unexpected place, and that war is that it came from the medical industry to destroy us. And yet through that process of them waging war against us, it is the greatest moment of awakening. It was the greatest moment of awakening that we could ever imagine, because in this moment we are truly beginning to realize how powerful, how beautiful, how incredible we are as God's children. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. Take heed and listen to these people and how courageous they are. This is the pathway every one of us must follow. Every one of us must speak truth. Every one of us now must stand up. And you have to make those difficult decisions, like Carrie said. You can't put your job before truth. This is the cusp of the survival or failure of humanity. And if you're going to be hanging on to your job because you're afraid to stand up for truth, good luck with that one. because that's a long fall off that cliff. This is now when we have to put our faith truly in God and trust that He will deliver, and He will. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. And I can assure you, I think we all know in our heart that God wants us there with Him when He does win. So choose God, choose faith, trust in God, and let this war play out as it is, because we're going to win this thing. I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.